All people want to have significance in their life. They don't want to be like the pinball that just kind of bounces through life randomly. But rather, they want to make an impact on their friends, on their family. They want to see that what they're doing is significant, that it counts for something. And so within us, we all have this desire that we want to find meaning and purpose in who we are and what we do. Last week, we looked at sharpening your focus, in which I hope we realized that there's only one real absolute necessity we have in life. And if we focus on that, everything else is going to kind of fall into place because of it. As we continue this idea of looking at things from the perspective of entering a new year, that we're wanting to find purpose and meaning in life, that I want to speak to you today about finding that meaning and purpose within the will of God. Because there and only there are we going to be able to find ourselves wanting to be where we need to be. Just the same as last week, as I issue this as a challenge, as I issue this as something that we can do to make 2012 great, there is no implication that perhaps we came up short in 2011. We should not feel any shame of perhaps not looking for our purpose and meaning in the will of God. But rather, we would be able to say, let me direct my attention to you, O Lord. Because regardless of how good or not so good the past was, it is behind us. And there is nothing we can do to change that. The only thing we can do of any benefit for ourselves or for anyone else is to find purpose and meaning in the will of God. As we look to do that, first, let me turn your attention to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, in which we need to accept the origin of purpose and meaning is outside ourselves. Reading from Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is basically telling us that regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our difficulties, regardless of the crisis that we may be facing, regardless of the fact wherever we go, we will run into mean people, that the believer should never faint, should ever lose heart. Because we know that with the sufferings and the trials we face in life, God is there. And that he is going to work out everything according to his good pleasure that is going to be beneficial. It's going to work out for our good to all of them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Okay, so if you are a believer in Jesus Christ here this morning, you are one of those that God has made this promise to. So without a show of hands this morning, just quietly put a little smug smile on your face that says, this one's for me. This is my promise from God. All things work together. And of course, within this, everything means everything. It's going to be all inclusive. Every circumstance, every trial, every success is going to work out for spiritual benefit. Now, as we look at this, it certainly would seem to be something that we would be able to understand within ourselves. We can't do that. We can't organize our life so that the circumstances of our life will turn out beneficial. Because not only would we have to do it for ourselves, we would have to do it for everyone whose life is going to intersect ours, so that we would be accommodating those contingencies so that everything works out. It should be real easy for us to recognize we can't do that for ourselves. So if there is going to be any purpose, if there is going to be any meaning, it's got to come from a source outside of ourselves. We don't have the ability, we don't have any hope of devising a plan that's going to be perfect and it's going to work out good in the end of everything that happens. Turning your attention over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. According to the plan and the purpose and everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. God has laid this all out. Yeah, he's saying that everything he's got is going to work out. If we are going to find meaning and purpose, we are incapable, we are unable, we do not have the power, we don't have the intelligence, we don't have the ability of working things all together. God does. Our source has got to be outside of ourselves. It's got to be God. Now, as we look at this simplicity of this comparison between our ability of being able to address this, being able to find meaning and purpose in life, and God's, it certainly brings us to the point of a choice. We have a choice to make. Are we going to rely upon our own ability that is going to be in direct defiance and disobedience of God, who has said, I got a plan for you. Yeah, please follow it. All things will work out for good. Or we can go our own way and basically tell God, I can do it on my own. Well, that certainly doesn't sound like a very intelligent place to be. Why would we want to oppose God? It only makes sense to be in charge of the one who can orchestrate all events for good. Now, within this, then we can see that any purpose, any meaning to be found in life is going to be found in God, not in ourselves. Secondly, we need to acknowledge that it is already figured out. Turning your attention over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And then if you would, back over to Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is God's work. It is not the product of our hands. It's not the product of our mind. This is God's. It is by God's design. It is going to be through God's love. It is going to be evidenced by God's power. We were created in Christ to do good works. In other words, we have within this plan and purpose of God, God's got all these things lined up for us to do. And if we want to find purpose and meaning in life, that's what we're going to do. And of course, within that, God is with us each step of the way, that as we trust him, it's actually his power in us, so that when it all gets said and done, it's God doing what he's given us to do. We're along for the ride. We're the lump of clay that gets to be in the room as he displays his presence, as he displays his power. It's an awesome place to be. The contrast to that is to somehow subject yourself to the idea that you got a better idea. Pretty hard place to be. So as we're looking at this, God wants to bless us. And of course, last week we realized that the blessing that God gives is more of himself. We know him better. We understand how he works and what he wants to do. So to know God better is certainly the greatest thing we can do, because we are going to share in his glory. The more we know him, the more we can appreciate what he is doing on our behalf. So God already has this plan. And so the only thing that really makes sense for us is to align ourselves with this plan. If we were to do anything else, we would find ourselves not understanding God's plan, not understanding what he wants us to do, and struggling with frustration rather than purpose and meaning. These are one of these things. God has given us all of these things to do according to his purpose, according to his plan, according to his will. And within that, there's none of those that we can manufacture ourselves. We do not have the ability of doing the good works he's given us to do. I know that kind of sounds like a little bit of a confusing statement. God gives us all this stuff to do, and yet we are completely empty. We are completely devoid of the ability, of the power to do what he's given us to do. Everybody understand me so far? The only way we can do what God has given us to do is if he does it. So he's asking us to do what he wants to do anyway. We're just aligning ourselves up with him. Yeah, the football playoffs are on. And, it's great if the team you cheer for is one of them that's still playing. Yeah, that's my team. Makes you feel good as a fan. Well, when it comes to purpose and meaning in life, we are not the power. We are not the worker. We are not the doer of what God wants to do in this world. We are the people he will empower to do what he wants to do. We get to be on his team. The superstar of all superstars who's leading our team, who has guaranteed victory, has guaranteed benefit and good in all that we do. Amazing. It sounds like a good idea. Let's get on board with God's plan. Number three, don't look for results, look for fruit. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. In the book of Colossians, it's a few pages over there, verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. with a corporation, with a business. They're always talking about the bottom line. What is the profit? And that has caused undue problems as greed has taken over our country. That many of our manufacturing jobs have been shipped overseas because we're more concerned about the bottom line than we are the well-being of our country. Within that, the church should be looking for spiritual results, not physical ones. So that as we're looking at this, I don't want us to be in the idea of, well, the reward of hard work is, because we aren't looking for rewards per se. We know that if we are going to be looking for those spiritual benefits, that we're looking at a situation in which the church is not going to be operating by the accepted rules of the world. But in contrast, as we're looking for the spiritual criteria, we are not looking for our proof in how much the bottom line is. What is the profit? We aren't looking at it from the standpoint of the number of people that perhaps are there. We are not looking at it in terms of what programs do we have. We are not looking at it in terms of its popularity or the amount of publicity that we will receive. But we understand from the Word of God that the value of a life, the purpose and meaning is found in spiritual fruit. If you would, turn over to John chapter 15. Familiar passage there. John chapter 15, which is talking about the vine and the branches. John chapter 15. I want to draw your attention to verse 5 and verse 8. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Dropping down to verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so we are to bear much fruit. Now we can understand real quickly that the whole idea of a branch is to produce fruit, not eat fruit. The analogy would be real clear there that those who are his disciples, of which fruit bearing is the proof, you are his disciples. If you are bearing fruit, then you are going to be serving others because you are not going to be partaking of the fruit. Others are. Now, within this whole idea of fruit, there's a lot of fake fruit out there. I remember as a child that I saw this pear that just looked so good. And I'm sure it wasn't cheap. And so I took it and I took a bite of it. And it was wax. And it was nasty. And I hid it in the bottom of the bowl. And it was 18 months later that my mother discovered there was a bite out of her pear. But the point is, spiritually, we can be in a situation that there are those that are trying to imitate spiritual fruit. They're trying to pass off as real that which is counterfeit. The idea with fruit is that fruit, how do you know genuine fruit? How do you know it's true spiritual fruit? Because it reproduces itself. Real fruit gives you real seeds that are going to grow, in which there are going to be other branches that are grafted into the vine. And as these other branches are grafted into the vine, they are no longer looking to be receiving this fruit. They're going to be looking at producing this fruit. That now they are in place to serve others. I know we have plenty of us here that are here because of the spiritual fruit of somebody else's life that has touched ours. In 2012, how much fruit are we going to see come into our midst because we're producing real fruit? We've got this idea that this fruit is what we're purposed for. This is the result. This is the goal that we have as believers. Now, if we find this as the end product, if we find this as the goal of us being rightly tied in our relationship with the Lord, then we should find fulfillment in producing fruit. Meaning and purpose must be found within that. And just, I'm going to say it again. I said it in the last point. I'm going to say it in this one too, just to make sure everybody gets it. We cannot produce fruit. God is wanting us to produce fruit. We are incapable, unable to produce fruit on our own. The only way we can produce fruit is to be rightly connected with the Lord. Because it is He, as the vine, that is providing us with everything we do, that as a branch, we produce fruit. I'm just trying to make a real good connection between last week, our absolute necessity is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this week, if we want to find purpose and meaning in our life, it is going to be found in doing what God wants us to do, which is really Him doing in us and through us what He's planned to do. As we look at this meaning and purpose, if I could, let's just take a look here at three things that maybe you can take home with you today. Number one, God and God alone has it all figured out. There is nothing we can add. There is nothing we can modify to improve the plan of God. The only sensible thing we can do is align ourselves with the one who can bring purpose and meaning and good benefit to all of the occasions of life. Number two, it takes determination. This doesn't just happen. It takes work. It takes commitment. It takes sacrifice. Yeah, I knew there was a catch in here somewhere. Well, here we go. We do not experience the feeling of living a life of purpose and meaning without moving ourselves to action. Surrender. Prayer. Motivation. That charges us up for action. God does not bless lazy. Never has, never will. We never want to put ourselves in a place that we would be confusing contentment with complacency. If we find ourselves contented in where we are and our life and all that God has going, it should only be because we understand who He is and what He's got us here for. And within that, the contentment drives us, motivates us, gives us that desire that we would seek God more, because that's the path He's got us on. Number three, fruitfulness is God's work, but preparation to produce fruit is our responsibility. Yes, we are God's creation, but we are to engage ourselves in this process. He produces fruit through His Spirit, but we demonstrate our love to Him by our commitment to to be willing to have the fruit produced. We've got to make ourselves available. We've got to surrender ourselves to His will and not ours. There's a process within this. Fruitfulness is the work of God. Our readiness to produce fruit is our responsibility. We know it's a basic human need. We all want to find purpose and meaning in life. And within this purpose and meaning, we can look for it in ourselves that we can quickly know we don't have a handle on it. God not only tells us that He does, but He makes incredible promises to us that this is good for our soul. It is good for our spiritual welfare. It's good for our entire life. And so within that, I trust that we will be motivated this morning. That as we think about all the exciting things that God is doing in your individual heart and life and in us as a church family, that we would look at 2012 as a year in which we engaged actively in the process of living according to the will of God, because within that we will find the meaning and purpose we all want to have, that our legacy, that our life will be significant, that it will matter, and that because of the fruit that others will be able to enjoy, we will make a difference for eternity. Father, we thank You that You have loved us with an everlasting love. We thank You that You have brought Yourself to us that we may know You. Lord, may we live in that. May we be able to find the purpose and meaning of life in You and Your purpose and will for us. Because then we experience Your presence. We know You. We experience Your power. We see You at work. Lord, we see You change lives like You have already done ours. Be with us now in communion, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.